Thank you. Dr. Quast, I was delighted to hear you talk about stillbirth, because so often when we are talking about these issues, we are talking sometimes about things that are politically divisive, sometimes things that are politically energizing. We heard about, you know, She Decides, which was sort of a campaign to rebut the Mexico City policy and the campaign for more contraception. These can be very politically galvanizing. But the stillbirth rate remains so high. And when we talk about rights, stillbirth rate is actually in negotiated treaties. Countries have an obligation, those who are states' parties. And yet, it seems as though it's not reduced. Maybe you could talk more about internationally. Is it moving? Are we making progress? It seems like at 2.6 million, it's just too high. And I guess the follow-on question would be, is there any chance that Guttmacher and the White Ribbon Alliance would take this on and try to get the kind of political support for stillbirth that it deserves?
Thank you for that question. I think stillbirth has not been on the agenda originally in the Safe Motherhood launch. One of the doctors from Chad at one point said, "Dead babies don't cry." That was a very emotional statement to make. And it then started to come on the agenda. It is difficult to measure sometime because resuscitation is often not adequate, and a child is put away as a stillbirth, while in actual fact it isn't, and it could have been resuscitated. And it could have then, of course, been a neonatal death, that's true, but also not. The stillbirth issue is a complicated issue. However, it was in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948, stillbirth was mentioned. And I am personally concerned that stillbirth is not an indicator in the SDGs. So I don't know what the global community is going to do about this, but there are millions who have no life at the end of a pregnancy of 9 months. And that is, of course, we're talking about against human rights, a social injustice. A woman doesn't want to be pregnant 9 months to have nothing at the end. I don't know whether I'm answering your question. Probably you are provoking me, and yeah, I have nothing to lose. I can say it. We need to measure it. Because the stillbirth, of course, doesn't come into the under five's mortality. That's the other thing. We have learned we can't get under five's mortality reduced until and unless we reduce neonatal mortality. And then, of course, the first day mortality. But that does not include the stillbirth, because they are nowhere. Does that answer your question?
It does. I did not know that it wasn't included. But maybe I can jump in. It wasn't included in terms of the SDG targets, but there is, I think, really a growing community around this, and I completely agree it had been hidden and neglected, but that is changing. And so we have successfully advocated for the stillbirth indicator to be included as a part of the global strategy for women, children, and adolescent health, or every woman, every child. So while it's not in the SDGs, that's the kind of global framework that sits under the SDGs for the sneeze agenda. So it's there, and that was that from a, you know, and that's really important. And then in terms of how that looks as well, in terms of organizations and things taking it on, it is something that, you know, we're talking a lot about, and how does it link with that agenda around quality, equity, and dignity, and respectful maternity care agenda, not only from the perspective of prevention, but also as it relates to stigma, bereavement care for women and families and providers. So I do think that you know, is starting to get more attention, but as others, how are we also not ensuring that doesn't become a siloed agenda? So we've been trying to also bring that in, and happy to talk, you know, more with you about it.
Just to add to that, that there is also very much more a people's movement around this. Mm-hmm. There are many, many associations of bereaved parents which have men in them as much as women. And there's been a lot more attention for this issue in the global arena. Last Women Deliver conference, there was a specific session on stillbirth, including a bereaved parent, a man who really stood up and did a wonderful job on really kind of helping us understand what it feels like from a male perspective. So, and that's really very opening in this discussion, which is so tough and oftentimes gets labeled as it's the woman's fault, she couldn't carry to term or something like that. So I think there is a real dynamism, new energy into that agenda that my community, our community, wholeheartedly embraces.
Can I add also something to that? You may have noticed my presentation was very much focused on the birth process. I did that deliberately. And I think with all the quality and respectful maternity care, we need to pay more attention to the management of the first and second stage of labor. The global community has done an enormous amount on the third stage of labor to prevent postpartum hemorrhage. That is fantastic work. Still, 50% of women who have no coverage cannot benefit from that. But people who go through labor and delivery attended, those 50% we also need to focus on, and we need to focus on it very well. It has been neglected. I'm afraid to say the first and second stage of labor have been neglected, and we have to pay more attention to that, because most of the stillbirths are intrapartum. And Zanzibar has shown now, with data and the partograph, which of course is my passion, but we leave that aside, it can show that we can reduce stillbirth and birth asphyxia.